is any sin greater than another, as in sexual sins? And I'm not sure if they're talking about homosexuality, lesbianism, deviance, or whatever. Yes, some sins are greater than other sins, and the Bible says so. The question is, are there big and little sins, mortal and venial? I mean, that's Catholic theology, but are there big sins and little sins? Are any sins greater than others? Well, yes. Yes. But first, let's talk about sin. Let's do a harmartiology, a study of sin. All sin, look at 1 John 3:4. First thing about all sin is, whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. So, in one sense, all sin is equally categorized by God as lawlessness. But there are sins. Now, keep going in 1 John to chapter 5. Now, let's talk about degrees or gradients of sin. There are sins that lead to death, and there are sins that don't lead to death. Now, don't get confused here. It says in Romans 3:23 that the wages of any sin is death, right? Any sin leads to death. I'm not talking about natural physical death that every human that's ever sinned is going to go through, except for those who Jesus comes to take. But 99% of all believers of all time are going to go through the valley of the shadow of death with Christ leading them. But what is 1 John 5? Look at verses 16 and 17. If anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death. You know, when you're reading through the Bible in 1 year and you get to that verse, you pause for a moment and go, I wonder what that means. But we keep reading because we're Americans and we like progress and we're going to check it off that we read it. So we keep reading. He will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. And we pause again. We go, what did I just read? But we persist reading. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. We say, I'm going to ask about that in Sunday school. You know, what is that? But we just keep going. But then it says, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Now, basically, and we're going to get into all the passages that talk about this a couple questions from now. But God says there's two kinds of sins. There is normal sin, and then there are sins that if believers commit them and don't repent of them, they're going to lead to what we would call an untimely death. Now I'll give you an anecdotal story. This is not in the Bible, but I did see it happen. My youth group president in East Lansing, Michigan, when I was a freshman in high school, was the coolest guy in East Lansing. He had the best motorcycle, beautiful blonde hair, and he loved it too. He was always working on it. One of those weightlifter types that was built like a V. He had one problem. He was a remarkable leader of our youth group. I mean, when he came, everybody came. He'd lead the music. He could teach. Every retreat that he went on, we all went on. I mean, he was just a magnet. But he was also a magnet for the girls. And he kind of had this other life where he was always messing around all through high school, back when it wasn't normal. Now it's kind of everybody messes around. But it was back then when it was more like just Elvis Presley, you know, or, you know, the Beatles messed around, but not everybody. He was, in his senior year, our youth group guy, and he had his motorcycle, and he was showing off, and you know, how they can drive on one wheel and all that stuff and go really fast and balance and everything, and he wanted to make sure everybody was watching. And so he is really going way too fast for motorcycle. And he got it up on one wheel and he looked back at all of us. And what he didn't see was that he was going way too fast and he'd gotten over and there was a semi parked there and he actually went underneath the semi. Well, at least the motorcycle and most of his body did, but a lot of it didn't. And it just decapitated and dismembered him. And you know, after that, none of us knew about his other life. Well, all the girls he was with knew about it, of course. And But as their parents found out, it came out that it was what our pastor, I'll never forget the sobering message he gave about really believing that this guy was involved in a sin that led to death. Because he was really a believer, but he was false and hypocritical and living in fornication and still doing the holy ministry of the word. But whether you like that anecdotal and whether someday, you know, the Lord will explain that to us, we do know this. For believers, there are some sins. Look back at what the text says. If you see your brother, that's a born-again person, verse 16, sinning a sin that does not lead to death, he will ask and will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. In other words, if that person is involved in a sin and they're asking for help and they say, I struggle with this and I struggle with this. In fact, someone asked me this morning, they said, give me an example of that. I said, I'll give you an example of that. I used to pastor in Rhode Island 30 years ago. And we were right next to the largest gay community. I mean, they're not gay. They're very unhappy. But we were next to the largest supposedly gay community. And those people, we're always bricking each other. That's where you hit someone and break their facial bones with a brick if they're unfaithful, you know, with some other man, and you're supposed to be with them and all that stuff. It's really messy and awful. But did you know that after they got saved, they did not instantly like girls? In fact, most of them, for the whole time that I knew and discipled them, they had to avoid gyms. Because if some guy ripped his shirt off, their heart would start pounding and they'd be drawn to him. They couldn't take their eyes off of him. Their temptation was completely different than ours. But it was as real as any man, you know, walking down the beach at the height of summer would have to avert his eyes. They had to avert their eyes from the weightlifter guys, and et cetera. And so there are sins. I mean, for them to say, I'm struggling with that is one thing, but for them to give into it and persist, let's say one of them, in the going back into the homosexual world, where one of them that I led to the Lord and baptized and discipled had 600 different male partners. To go back into that world, if he didn't repent, if he was truly born again, the Bible says in 1 John 5, 16 and 17, it would lead to his death. He would have, the Bible says, an untimely death. Okay, so there are different levels of sin. But now look at Matthew 12. Let's look at this, because there's some really even worse sins than homosexuality and lesbianism and gluttony and covetousness, which are all huge bad sins. Look at Matthew 12, because there are some sins that are unforgivable. And it says in Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32, that there are these things called sins against the Spirit. Now listen to how sobering this is. 12:31, therefore I say unto you that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Wow. That means every type of deviance, any deviant you can think of, in any gross immoral sin that's right now in life imprisonment, Jesus says in verse 31, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. There is no sin that is unforgivable except one. Here it is. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, now listen, this is heavy. It will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. There aren't very many things Jesus ever said anything like that about. So there are sins that are unforgivable. Now, nobody asked me, you know, what that is, so we won't cover them tonight. But basically, I would give you a quick, short one. I believe blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was only possible when Christ was on earth. And what happened is Jesus Christ was raising people from the dead. The religious leaders were saying, that's the devil doing that. It's not God. And when Jesus would heal a leper, they'd say, that's a demon doing that. That's not God. And when Jesus would perform all of his, we talked about tonight, those sign miracles, the people that hated him, the religious leaders, would say, that's not God. And they were sinning against the Holy Spirit, who was energizing all of those miracles through Christ. So is it possible theologically today to commit the unpardonable sin? Only this unpardonable sin. There is one other unpardonable sin, and that's the sin of neglecting Christ. In other words, hearing the gospel, saying no, and dying that way. That sin will never be forgiven because you didn't embrace the Savior. But that's a passive sin. But an active sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the climate for that is no longer possible. Now, here's one last thing, and I think this probably is what the person was asking about. But look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. I believe this person heard somewhere that you really need to be careful about moral things because those are really bad sins. Well, the Bible does say this. It's very interesting. The context is, if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, and back up a little bit, he starts in verse 15, kind of the running into this. He says, "Do you not know your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot?" By the way, what is a harlot in the biblical terminology? It is having sexual relations with someone you're not married to, and you move between them. Do you know what that is? That's college life today. It's harlotress. And all those people that pose, you know, for all the pictures are harlots too. And you know what the Lord says? Don't you know your body is a member of Christ? Should you be involved in harlotress behavior? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And what Paul is saying in this terminology is, why on earth, you who are joined to Christ, would you join Christ to a harlotress, immoral? I mean, Jesus is in you as you're doing that. And he says, you shouldn't do that. Now look what he says in verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. And this, I think, is what the person was asking about. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. What does that mean? Well, keep reading. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So what Paul is saying is, you can overweight your body. You can over-anxiety your body. You can under-exercise your body. You can, you know, smoke and cancerate your body and lay under those sun lamps and get skin cancer all you want. And that's one thing. But you take your body, and you can use your body to hurt people, and you can use your body to say mean things to people. But if you join the holy temple of God into an immoral union, you are sinning in a special way, because verse 19, your body is the very temple of the Holy Spirit. So, in that sense, are any sins greater than others? At the basic level, all sins are lawlessness. But there are some sins, if you don't repent of, the Lord will, and we'll see this in a little while, kill you. You can sin an unpardonable sin, but Paul said, watch out. There's something different about sexual sins. There's something different that the writer of Proverbs says. It's like taking hot coals and dumping them down your shirt. That doesn't sound very good to me. Hot, you know, next time you're grilling your hamburgers, think of getting a big scooper of those red hot embers and dumping them down your shirt and thinking of all the corollary damage that will come of that. You ruin your clothes, ruin your skin, you know, who knows all that can happen. And the Lord says, you should be careful because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.